Hey there, campers. We're down to the last 2 days of Camp One Clap on the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast, but the sun is still shining on our mission to get coaches and competitors fired up for a new speech and debate season. I'm your camp director and host of the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast, Lyle Wiley. And Congress competitors, it's your time at camp. We've arrived at day 30, and Counselor Alexis Worthen will be tackling chairing in the last of her awesome series, Capturing the Congress Crown. Don't forget to check the One Clap socials for today's social media challenge topic. Also, the ABCs of Debate with Professor Graham and Kevin, assembled by the talented and unpredictable Counselor Adrian Graham, keeps the debate terms rolling with editing chops for days. Be sure to check those videos out on YouTube and help Adrian reach 8 million subscribers. All right, campers, it's time for episode 5 of Capture the Congress Crown with Counselor Alexis Worthen, all about how to chair a Congress round.
And welcome back, everyone, to our final episode of Capturing the Congressional Crown with Alexis Worthen. This week's episode is entitled Point of Order, How to Chair Successfully. So I'm super, super excited for this episode, guys. I mean, I know it's our last, so that's a little bit sad. But I think it's really fun to talk about chairing because people either, in my opinion, either love it or hate it. And I think it's just good to be prepared to be able to chair. You don't have to actively choose to want to chair, or if you love chairing, this is a good episode for some tips and tricks on how to do that and succeed. And then we'll just kind of, and then I'll give you guys some, just like some final words of advice about like my final thoughts about Congress before we, close out this week's episode. So let's get started. So first off, I know chairing seems a little intimidating, especially when it comes to precedent sheets. I know that's something that I really like initially struggled with. And then I developed my own precedent sheet that I was super proud of. So your main job, obviously, as chair, that's something that I think one of the most unique factors of Congress is that you as chair are, quote unquote, running the room. You're deciding how things, which speakers are chosen. And so it's easier for people to get mad at you for how you chair, so they can blame their performance or their ranking on you. So the stakes feel higher, but they don't need to, especially when we all go in with a little bit of grace, because you know people can make mistakes and that happens. But it's more successful when we go in with some kindness, because kindness goes a long way and politeness and respect goes a long way. And that makes you look better rather than just like throwing a fit. So when it comes to chairing, this is also where like a lot of the intimidating jargon comes in Congress too. So we'll just kind of go over like some basic motions and like how it actually functions. So when it comes to precedents, your job is to keep track of who has spoken and like how many times and what side they've spoken on is always a good trick too. Sometimes precedence is assigned. At districts, it is. The tab will release a document that says, this is the order of who is allowed to speak. And not that people aren't going to necessarily follow that order, but in terms of like if the first person is listed, like they're not going to just stand up to speak. But it's like it's not a turn. It's just when people stand up to speak, that's the order on which you call on them. And then so that's how kind of precedence is set. And then when it comes to questioning, what I like to do is to kind of follow like almost like a reverse precedence, not as strict as you would necessarily with districts, but just like, you know, if someone stands up to ask a question and they haven't already spoken yet, but they want to ask a question, you call on them first. And that's pretty much how precedence goes. My advice also is when you're just learning how to do this is literally just to go to a Congress round and see how, once you watch maybe two or three Congress rounds or participate in two or three Congress rounds, you get the hang of it. It literally just takes practice and observance, because it's hard to explain. Like, it sounds terrifying, I know, explained to you, but once like you get the hang of it, you get the hang of it and you know. So so if you've been elected chair elections have taken place. We can talk about chair elections. Actually, let's talk about chair elections, because I think chair elections are fun. Another thing, you get to choose. And that's another unique factor about Congress is that people like choose who's going to chair. And so often people, especially if it's like a supers thing, so everyone kind of already is familiar, quote unquote, with each other, they go in and they like start choosing who's going to chair and blah, 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 blah. Obviously, that's not always how it goes, but sometimes people make deals like, hey, if you nominate me to chair this round, I'll nominate you to chair for this round, or blah, 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 that kind of thing. And so you're asked to choose who you want to chair. That's totally fine. It's not illegal. I think it does get a little bit illegal if a person, for example, I've watched this happen at State, actually, is someone was chairing and they agree. So for in exchange for a nomination to chair, they were called on to speak first. So precedence was swayed. But point that can be, if you notice something like that kind of level of corruption, quote unquote, you can always bring that up to your parliamentarian or to a judge, or you can go and talk to Equity and Tap. That's something that can be taken care of. But I don't think that happens very frequently. So when it comes to chair elections, if you get nominated to chair, or if you ask someone to nominate you to chair you, and you have like a minute, 30 seconds to a minute to ask you to chair, it doesn't need to be anything long. People are going to vote for who they're going to vote for. Your speech doesn't necessarily matter, in my opinion. When it comes to choosing who you want to chair, you want to choose, obviously, you want to choose who will run the round correctly. Like it doesn't, in the end, it won't matter that much. But if you're just kind of left with like not a lot of great options, just or like you don't really care, choose the person who's like they haven't spoken as much, or they're likely ranked lower because they just haven't like participated as much, because that kind of boosts everyone's like performance, in my opinion, a little bit. Like it just kind of evens the playing field and gives you them a little bit more of an opportunity to like make it like less skewed towards other people's favor, if that makes sense. So once chair elections take place, it is now your job to explain your procedures. Obviously you get into like, for example, time signals. So you go over time signals, you go over this is also, remember, you get a separate like scoring sheet because you're presiding officer. So make sure that you give the opportunity to like explain what your procedures are, time signals, how you recognize speakers, how you like choose like questioners. Like I'll point at you with my gavel, or I'll point at you and I'll continue to point, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Also, like, for example, personal privilege. We've talked about personal privilege quite a bit. My advice for chair is that just give a universal personal privilege granted, but advise caution against, like, disrupting the chamber. I feel like that's just, like, a really easy, and it cuts down on, like, awkward, like, raising your hand. Oh, I just have to go to the bathroom. Like, we can get more into debate time. Another advice I have for the chair, so I understand, and just for the room in general, when you're chairing, I think it's a good idea to, like, encourage the concept of not spending all of our time on one bill. Say that you heavily suggest that after a certain amount of speeches that we move on to another bill, depending on how the round is flowing. Obviously, that's in a perfect world. I understand that like you can't like be like cautious about that. I understand though, if that's our only option, then we'll just our main priority should be giving everybody the opportunity to speak. That is your main priority. So once you do that, if they are ready, ask the chamber. I would also, before like a previous question comes in, main motion is implied, just, you know, give that opportunity as like a time to take the room. Like don't like, you don't have to interrupt anybody, but like, don't like just like stand there awkwardly until someone's like, like motion to begin debate, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Really be direct, enunciate when you give directions, to project authority, but be like, you know, calm, but you care. Obviously you care. So when you call on people to speak, you call on people to speak, and then you recognize, and also you can use the third person. That's the, like the typical, way to go about it. So the chair recognizes Senator Wu, you know, that kind of thing. And then you're keeping up with the time signals, standard time signals. I love doing time signals. So standard time signals are at 1 minute, you knock, hold up a one, 2 minutes, you knock, hold up a two. 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you knock. I think it's you knock twice. You knock twice and hold up a C. Then I use from there on, I don't use like the knocking anymore. And then I do from that, I do 15 at 15 seconds. You hold up like the weird, like L, like two pointer finger thing. And then you count down from 10 at 10 seconds. And then you count up and then you verbally cut them off. And then once you're done, just say thank you for that speech. It was in total of this many minutes and that many seconds. And then questioning can be been. Remember, my advice again is to also just allow more people, really try to spread it out. In terms of selecting people, this applies to both calling on people to speak and like if they have equal precedence or equal questioning rights. Using a random number generator is always just a good idea, like on your phone or computer or whatever. It's just kind of like the fairest way until like precedence or questioning precedence is like more easily established. That just keeps it fair. If you're going off of the first person who I saw, that is so inherently biased. There's so many factors that goes into that. Just do a random number generator for everybody. It's easier for everybody involved. Once questioning is over, questioning period is concluded, the speaker may be seated. And then that process just repeats. So when you called on the last person to, who wants to speak on the bill, we will move on immediately. You can immediately move on to, immediately move on to previous question. You don't even have to, they don't have to even do the vote. Unless there's like someone who like raises their hand in opposition, which has happened before because someone hasn't gotten the opportunity to speak. That also gets a little bit messy, but that doesn't happen very often. But when that happens, just kind of keep going, and let them, you know, if a person needs to speak, a person needs to speak. That's just kind of the rules. When it comes to recognizing motions, just say the chair recognizes or go ahead, representative, blah, 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 blah. But often people are very quick and eager to participate when it comes to Congress. Like people like are pretty on the ball with stuff. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Taking votes. Okay. So negative votes. Let's see. Yes. So remember to count your votes in terms of like on bills, because that kind of comes important, especially when there's like abstentions. So like make sure that you like tell people like, hey, don't like keep your hands up until I direct you otherwise. That's a weird problem that I've had before, is like people just like would raise them and then send them down. And I don't know how you voted. Not that it matters in the end, but it's just a good kind of like, I guess, thing to keep in mind. All right, finally, let's kind of move on to some like precedent sheet stuff. Honestly, like your precedent sheet can be however you want it to set it up. You can experiment with different styles, like find stuff that you find online. It can be as complicated or as like simple as you would like it to be. The only way that precedent sheets really work is if you understand them. Nobody else really has to understand them. My thing was though, I liked, especially when like chairing got really serious at state and districts, I liked everyone being able to have access to my precedent sheet. I thought it was like a good way to like boost your like almost like accountability points. And I don't know, it was also able, I was able to like link in like my, like procedures so I could have a more, and especially that was super important because our last year's districts was over Zoom. So like it was just a really easy to like, so everyone could see my procedures. And yeah, it was just a nice thing. And you don't like necessarily have to do it, but if you want, that's like my little secret, is I would like have like a QR code that people would scan and they were able to like see my precedent sheet and stuff. Whether they were like a judge or a parley or just like a competitor, like they could just kind of see it and, you know, they could use it to base off their own or, you know, use it for like point of order, stuff like that. So again, it can be however you want to set it up. Just always like, you know, keep track of who spoke when, what side, what time they spoke. And that's really, really all you need. It can be even simpler than that if you're just like a competitor. So yeah, if you want to start practicing, if you don't feel comfortable with chairing, but you kind of want to start practicing chairing and stuff, you can just go to Congress rooms and like just practice with the precedent sheet. if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. And that's like a great way to kind of build up those skills and just like keep that in mind. As a chair, you kind of have to be on your A game the whole round. It's just like a different mindset that you enter into. I mean, obviously you should be on your A game throughout the whole round. That's like not what I'm saying, but like you're paying attention to like to completely separate things than when you are. So like you have to like have this almost like mentality switch, where you have to be impartial to like the events, actual what's being said in the round, but you're more focused on empowering other people to be able to like have equal opportunity to speak. You're in charge of facilitating that. And that's a pretty heavy responsibility. But I think with genuine practice and observation, anyone is really capable of chairing. So I think this kind of brings us to like our final little bit, my final parting words of wisdom. They're not anything special. I love Congress. I hope that's been like evident throughout these past 5 episodes. Wow, guys. I love it so much. And I love the ability, the voice that it gives. Sometimes I laugh. I laugh at actual real life Congress events because I'm like, they could not handle, sometimes like, I don't think actual like real life senators and representatives could like not handle an actual, like an NSDA Congress room. It's just like kind of fun. And I am so grateful for the Congress community, and like we're out there. We're not just the band kids of speech and debate, guys. That's drama. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I think Congress in its core, it's teaching you how to empower yourself and empower others and advocating for change. I mean, that's like the most like the bare essentials. And I think that can be true of any other event. But I think it just gives you the opportunity for like real world practice and, you know, how stuff gets done in the real world. Change starts with the call to action. But in the end, change happens because of policy work and by taking the action. We can have the call to actions all we want, but we have to take the action. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity that Congress provides. And I hope that you guys see that as well. Some final little words, especially for my, this is a little tiny little segment, but for my female Congress debaters out there, I'll be honest. I don't think I've had so much fun in Congress. It's probably the event that I've ever had the most fun in, but I've never experienced as much sexism as I had until like in speech and debate in Congress. Something I think that is not a unique problem to our community and is not something that's new is that there's this weird sort of fatal weakness that speech and debate competitors and debaters especially have, is that they think that they have to get into this mentality of that they're so right all the time, or they're so intelligent and that, you know, they're so progressive and compared to everybody else that they have this like, when it comes to confronting misogyny and how we handle, you know, debate aspects, it's like they're like ignorant, or they don't think that they can be like part of the problem. So my female Congress competitors, please keep doing what you're doing. Don't be dissuaded by the large groups of loud men who will always be able to like somehow beat you for some reason you don't understand why. Don't be dissuaded by, you know, at the end of the day when there was 12 people in the supers room and for some reason all the people who will place are men. Don't be dissuaded by the, you know, extemp badges that they hand out, because, you know, fun fact about nationals is that they were handing out these little pens, like pins, that said the future of extemp is female, because last year there was a bit of a issue because in the domestic category there was no woman who made finals, and there was only one woman who made for domestic, and there was only one woman who made it to international finals, and she won. But so speech and debate isn't gone. Like the sexism in speech and debate isn't gone. It's very real and prevalent. And I think Congress is like a very feasible way of seeing that. You can receive it from judges, you can receive it from competitors, and it's out there. But don't let it hold you back. Again, the only way is if we're going to create change is by being at the forefront of that. And don't be afraid to, you know, back down. You deserve to have your voice uplifted and heard. And don't let the powerful people in the room ruin your experience, because you're a powerful person too. You're just as powerful. And don't let anyone, coaches, judges, or competitors, or anyone around you take that away from you. You deserve equal opportunities to succeed. You don't deserve the comments that you'll get in ballots seemingly that you were pushy or over aggressive when your behavior was no different than a man's in that room. I think that my hope for speech and debate is that in the end, if we're so focused on empowering people for change and empowering people's voices, that we actually start that within our own community. Thank you guys so much for listening and sticking with this podcast. I appreciate it. And thank you so much to everyone with Camp One Clap. This is Alexis Worthen signing off for the last time.
Well, thank you so much to Counselor Alexis Worthen for an outstanding overview of Congress and the five awesome episodes of Capturing the Congress Crown here at Camp One Clap. I wish Alexis all the best at university this year, and I can't wait to work with her on One Clap again in the future. Alas, campers, tomorrow is our final day of camp. I'll hop on for a final camp farewell. Also, Counselor Adrian Graham will drop more viral episodes of Professor Graham and Kevin's ABCs of Debate. Remember, social media challenges are live for every day of camp this August, and that means tomorrow will be the last one. Until tomorrow, campers. Oh, by the way, did you hear the one about the hill? Yeah, I never quite could get over it. For Camp One Clap, this is Camp Director Wiley signing off.